Can you turn me like?
So.
Cody!
Sorry, one more time. Come in on one. One, two, three, four. Cody's Podcast!
Yeah, I suppose I can talk to you for a little bit and just see how it goes.
Okay, cool. I tell
not
you what.
Sure how interesting.
It's been fun. You know, I've been here, I guess, 11 years now, and I'm still feel like the new guy.
Yeah,
it's been pretty crazy.
I know. I was talking to John a little while ago, and the last time I worked on a show was probably June 2000. It's like what, 15, almost 15 years that I've been away from the show, but I still watch it just about every morning, and I still have the habit of directing it while I'm watching it.
Do you really? You're like, take two,
yeah,
what is wrong with you?
Yeah, I don't do it quite as much as I used to, but yeah, I'll see some things going on, and I'll sometimes talk to the TV.
So were you there from the very beginning?
Yeah, I directed, back then I directed 6 o'clock hour, around from 6 to 9. And I was director for, I directed 6 to 7 a.m. And then I moved over and did audio, ran music and mics from 7 to 9. And so, yeah, when we first put it on the air, I was the first director that got to say, fast, fade up, cue, and we were off and running. That was pretty cool.
That's pretty wild. So what was it like? Were you guys a little nervous when it first started? Do you think, well, what are we doing here, or what was it like?
Yeah, it all happened really fast, because they only told us about the show the Saturday before. So they brought us like a week before, I think about a week before we were going to launch. My boss at the time brought me into his office, and he said, he was very cryptic. He just, they were trying to get on the air but beat KCRA, and so they're being secretive. And he brings me to his office and he says, your hours are going to change, because at the time I was working like 4 to 2 a.m. Thursday through Sunday. And I said, okay, to what? And he said, well, I can't tell you that. I said, can you tell me what I'm going to be doing? And so, not really. I said, well, am I going to be directing and technical directing? He said, well, yeah. I said, can you give me a rough idea of when my hours will be? And he said, sometime between midnight and 8 a.m. I'm like, okay. And then they scheduled a meeting for Saturday morning, and I think rumors were starting to go around about what it was going to be at that point, but we didn't really know. So everyone gets in the studio on a Saturday morning, and that's when the talent got to meet. It was Marianne and Stu, and that's the first time they had met, and Tina was there, and that's when they announced to us that, okay, we're going to be doing the morning show, calling it the morning show, and it was going to be starting on Monday. And we had to spend that whole day Saturday blocking the camera shots, setting up the lights, getting the studio ready. We did trial shows, run-through shows, practice, just all this practice interviews and trying to figure out segments. And we just kind of worked all day that Saturday trying to figure out what we were going to be doing on the following Monday. And so, that was actually some of the funniest TV that we ever put on with that practice show. It was hilarious.
So did they have any idea really what they wanted to do with it? Or was it so rushed that they're like, oh, we'll get it on the air and then we'll fix it later?
A little bit of both. They knew they wanted to do something similar to what KPLA in Los Angeles was doing with their morning news. It was really just kind of a wide open, just kind of fun little show that they were doing, a mixture of, you know, we'll bring you the news, but we're going to have a good time doing it. And they knew they wanted to do that. And I think the first 2 weeks that we were on the air, we just were insane. We were just crazy, just doing whatever we felt like. We were just experimenting. And I think after a couple of weeks, they're like, okay, it's getting a little crazy. We kind of rein it in here. And so they kind of, the first, I don't know, 6 months of the show or something, we'd bounce back and forth a lot from starting off with having a lot of fun, and this is just irreverent and just crazy, and we're getting a little too far there, let's get a little more serious with the news, and then we're a little too serious with the news, come on, we got to add a little bit. It was a lot of just trying to figure out what exactly the show was going to be and just how much fun mixed in with how much serious news. And so there were a lot of meetings about, okay, we're this maybe went too far, and we got to, you know, rein this in, and we need to cover more stuff like this. And so, yeah, it was a lot of confusion the first 6 months about exactly what we were doing, but they knew they wanted to do something that wasn't like every other news show, that's for sure.
Well, that sounds exactly like the way it still is. Quite honestly, yeah. is that what we wanted to do? Is that too far? What about...
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's a constantly evolving show, I think, and constantly changing. That's what makes it good and popular and fun to watch. But it's just not like, it's not just super straightforward. And, you know, you can see that the other stations in the market, they've tried to do things to copy it. So obviously we started something correct there.
You did something, that's for sure. Can you remember any of those early bits and stuff that you guys were doing that you're like, I cannot believe we're actually putting this on television?
Well, we were doing the new thing for us back then was we were taking faxes. We had a fax machine right there on the set, and so we were encouraging people to fax in the show and just fax in comments and stuff like that. And we used to get these faxes from someone named Cleve, something like that. And I think it turned out that those were from a PA that we had working on the show that he went on to do bigger and better things. And but some of it was faked and some of it was real, and it was hard to tell what was what. And there were just a lot of weird faxes and a lot of weird stuff going on. I remember we got flowers a lot. There was a florist in Folsom that really took to the show. And so they would send these floral arrangements that would sit in the background a lot, these tall floral arrangements, because I think they used to describe the set as morning TV in Tehran. It was just really boring, weird. I remember it being purple. Like, I remember the color purple. And it's just not the greatest set. And so we'd always get these flowers. And it was just, you know, we were just trying a whole lot of different things and just trying to be different. You know, for me, from a director's point of view, what I really enjoyed about the show is that half of my scripts were blank and just said anchor chit chat. So, you know, we'd have the news segments where we had scripts, there were words, there were, you know, things we had to follow, but then I loved the scripts that just were blank that just said anchor chit chat, and it was just, all right, we didn't know what was going to happen, so you just had to be on your toes to kind of follow with whatever was going to happen. And I, you know, for me, I really enjoyed that from a director standpoint, just trying to follow along with what they're doing and try to get on the same wavelength as well and just kind of go with that. That was fun.
Did you direct anything like this before? Like something that was like so freeform? Because I used to direct a long time ago, and it was all planned out, you know. But something like this, where you're just reacting and directing it like it's a sports event or something like that. Had you done anything like that before?
Not a news show like that. I had directed and been involved in broadcasts. Live broadcasts like singing Christmas tree things and stuff like that. But all the directing that I had done prior to this was, it was all just standard news that you see, the 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news. I came from Chico, and I was the noon 5:30 and 6:30 director up there. And it was just all just bang, 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 same stuff, very standard. You know, sometimes I would get bored, and I would, because it was just so simple to direct and just so normal, I'd get bored, and I'd do different things to challenge myself. Like, I'm right-handed, so I would put my right hand behind my back, and I would just use my left hand exclusively to try to type in numbers to call up supers, or if I was TDing, you know, I would just use my left hand to TD the whole thing, and just put my right hand behind my back, because it got too easy and boring, and was good that it wasn't that way. You know, it kept you on your toes. And I remember years ago, my sister lives in San Luis Obispo, and this was back before the morning show started, and I was visiting her, and she's like, "Oh, you got to watch this news in the morning. It's incredible." And it was KKLA's morning news. And I just loved what they did. I mean, I remember they got up and they all switched chairs in the middle of the broadcast. And I thought, "Oh my God, that looks like so much fun. I would love to work on something like that someday." And then, you know, a couple of years later to get the chance to work on the morning show and then eventually Good Day Sacramento. It was just really fun for me to be able to be involved in that. And,
I love the fact that you were directing with your left hand just so you wouldn't be bored.
Yeah, I would TD and I would direct with my left hand just because, you know, I'm right-handed. I just needed ways to challenge myself. Or if it was a Monday night, if I was directing on a Monday night, I would be sitting there watching the Monday night football game, and while I was directing, just kind of follow along, and like the sports guy would be on the air, and he'd go, "Oh, Kevin, hey, I know you're watching the football game there. What's the score right now?" And so yeah, I would have to do things to challenge myself, and with Good Day, I didn't have to worry about that because it always kept you on your toes as a director as to what was going on, what was going to be happening there.
Let's
do an audio too.
I
did audio. I ran audio for the show. I would do the last 2 hours of audio, and that was a lot of fun for me back in those days. I would bring in all my, we just kind of played whatever, and we didn't have a set playlist or anything. We just had a CD player, and so I would bring in just all my CDs that I had, dozens of CDs, and just kind of decide a feel of music for the day, the kind of music I was going to go with for the day. And it, you know, for me, it was a really personal thing. And just, it's like, there were certain songs that they felt right and others that didn't. And, you know, I put a lot of thought into the music, and I'd write up a list, and sometimes I'd talk with Anchor Sue about it. He had some ideas about some music, and we would talk about some stuff. And if there was a topic that came up and there was a certain song that would fit with that, I would just quickly search my CDs to find a song that would go with that. And at one point, I started this thing on Fridays where I would do theme music on Fridays. And so all throughout the last 2 hours of the show, it would all be a certain theme of music, whether it was Broadway musicals or 70s music or 80s music or just whatever kind of theme that I could think of, and I could find enough CDs to play. I'd run a theme all day on Friday for doing audio. So that was a lot of fun too.
That's cool. That's good to know that. Let's talk tech. So we had a fax machine. Clearly had one CD player. I'm guessing not more than one. What other sort of stuff did we have? Like, what about live elements? What did they do for that? What kind of trucks and stuff did we have?
We didn't have trucks. When I started working there, we didn't have a live truck, but we had like an antenna that was in the back of a van, and so I think I got to direct our first ever microwave shot that we did too. At some point, that we sent the van out, and they would have to put this antenna up as high as it could go, and I think maybe it could go like 20 feet high, 25 feet high. It really couldn't get that high, but it was like the live trucks you see today. It was just on a windy day, you couldn't do a live shot because this antenna was too thin and it would waver too much. And then the other thing we would do too is we would run a cable from a drop in the studio, and we could run the cable out the front of the building. This was when we were off of 160 by the Canterbury Inn, and we would run the camera out the front door of the building, and we were broadcasting live from downtown Sacramento. Just right outside the front door, because that was about our capability, because we couldn't really go to many places, because we didn't, you know, the station didn't have that big of a budget back then. And so it was exciting when we got our first actual live truck. That was pretty neat. And, but yeah, we had to improvise a lot doing our live shots, and a lot of our live shots just took place right outside the state, the front of the station, because, you know, we didn't need a microwave signal to do that. We just needed a long cable.
That's hilarious. You know, Mark, this week, just went live from Half Dome. He, like, climbed Half Dome live in the air.
That's right, yeah. I saw a couple of broadcasts. And yeah, it's just amazing. And to see the rover broadcast every morning, see Tina and Dave broadcasting from traffic as they're driving around. Yeah, it's come a long way in the 20 years since I was working at it, for sure.
Was there any great meltdowns while you were there? Like you guys were on the air trying to do something and it just all went straight to hell?
Oh, there's always that, yeah. I mean, there's always just a lot of craziness that goes on, a lot of screaming and yelling behind the scenes that people don't see on the air. You know you're doing it right if there's chaos behind the scenes, but it looks clean on the air. And I remember one time we had some wrestlers in studio, and they were, Mark was interviewing them. I can't remember who the wrestlers were, but I remember Mark was interviewing these wrestlers, and I don't remember why it happened, but at some point one of the wrestlers threw Mark across our cooking set. We had a movable cooking set, and one of these wrestlers threw Mark, grabbed him, and threw him across the cooking set. And you know, Mark is very prone for injuries. And I was directing this, and so he gets tossed across the set, and my camera people they're like, "Oh my God, they just threw Mark! They just threw Mark!" I'm like, "I know," and they're, "I think he's hurt." I'm like, "Okay, well, you got to drop two. Hang on till we get to our break. Let's, you know," and we had to go back to the main anchor. They tossed the break, and then we went and checked on Mark. But my crew was all freaking out up there. I'm like, "Okay, calm down, guys. Calm down. We got to show you. We got to get to break. When we get to break, we'll get to Mark." And he wasn't injured that bad, but you know, he sustained some bumps and bruises. And I don't know if it was planned or what, but it certainly caught the camera people in the studio off guard, and caught me off guard too. And I think it may have caught Mark off guard a little bit. But, yeah, you know, there was just always a lot of wackiness.
Was there any segments or guests in the early days that really stands out in your mind?
You know, a lot of stuff we did in the early days was, we did a lot of satellite interviews, and I remember for me one time a lot of it was taped after the show was over, for the broadcast the next day because we maybe couldn't get time during the show, and I was I'm a big Tom Clancy fan. I like his novels, and the producer, knowing I was a Tom Clancy fan, she saved like a minute. She wrapped the interview up a minute early just so I could have a chance to speak to him over IFB through the satellite. And I was all nervous about it. And And then all of a sudden I hear Tom Clancy going, Kevin, hi, are you there? Are you there? So I got to talk to Tom Clancy for a little bit, which was pretty exciting for me. I think we had Mark Spitz in the studio one time, which was neat, getting a chance to meet him and shake his hand, because I remember watching him in the Olympics and as a kid, and I was a swimmer when I was a kid. And so, you know, Mark Spitz was one of my heroes when I was a kid, and getting to meet him. And Greg LeMond, got to meet him one time. And yeah, you know, it was just, you know, it was fun talking, just getting to talk in there, these celebrities' ears every once in a while, just, you know, just the little cues and stuff, but getting, asking them to do mic checks, minor things, but it was always kind of cool for me.
Well, that's
from,
cool.
When
did you guys start to feel like, okay, this is going to work, this is going to make it? Because I know at first, Marianne was telling me, she goes, you know, we had no idea if anybody was watching, and it took a little while to catch on. But was there a point where you guys were all like, yeah, I think this might actually stick around for a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it was, there were a lot of nerves on the early days of the show, because we weren't sure how much time that they were, management was going to give the show to draw an audience. I mean, I know in meetings we all felt like we were on the right track with where we were headed, and we were just like, come on, get, you know, stick with it. Don't give up on it too early. The numbers early on, we'd look at the overnights, and the numbers really weren't that great. But we really felt like we had something, and I think as we started getting more and more faxes from real viewers, real people that were really into the show, and just the fax complimenting the show, and we started getting a lot of good feedback through the fax line about what we were doing, how things were going, and that kind of started to get us to feel that. But it was you know, I think the whole first year we were all a little bit on edge that they weren't going to give it, you know, a chance that they were going to pull the plug on it. And we just kept hoping they wouldn't, because we knew we were doing something different, doing something that, you know, if you just give it a chance, people will come around to it. And, you know, eventually they did. So I'm glad they gave it, they gave it the chance that they did.
Now, when Mark came in, I think that was a big step in the show, because when they brought Mark in, they gave you that element of complete and utter danger. What did you think of Mark at first?
Oh, you know, he was, I had heard of him, heard him on the radio, and I was aware of him. I'd even seen him on Comedy Central, you know, knowing, so I knew who he was, but, you know, just, I wasn't sure at first how he would fit in the show, because at that time we had all our people and things were going pretty good, and like, well, how are we going to fit him in the show? And he came on and he just fit in perfectly. And he made it so much fun. And he's so open to doing whatever. And he's just such a nice, genuine, good person. It was great to work with him and great to get to know him and just fun to watch the things he would do. And I would, you know, if things would, as the show, as they were chit-chatting there, if things would pop into my head that I thought might be funny, that I thought Mark might like, I would every once in a while get in his ear and say something, and then, you know, sometimes he would repeat it, and he was just very open to suggestions, open to doing whatever, and just, I think, you know, adding him was very smart thing to do, and it really took that show in a brand new direction that really made it thrive.
So you said you still watch it every day, huh?
Oh yeah. I before I go to bed at night and when I'm shutting off the TV, I tune my TV to channel 31 and then I shut it off. And so when I wake up in the morning, I get up to get my son ready for school, I turn on the TV and I sit in bed for a little bit and I listen to the news and traffic and weather and watch for a little bit and then get him ready for school and then take him off to school and Sometimes watch a little bit more, but yeah, it's about 10 minutes every day and on weekends and just, yeah, you know, it's a fun show to watch. It's a good show of personalities. It's the people that are on it that you enjoy and you get to know and you watch over the years and you just enjoy watching it, you know. And I love that Marianne is still on and Tina and Courtney and all these people that I worked with years ago and Mark, and just to still see them on there. And it's just a lot of, it's really cool to be able to tune in every day and see them on there. And yeah, it's, you know, I love the show. I've got a very strong connection to it. And so I love still watching it.
That makes me happy. And I'm going to tell everybody that you're still watching, cause I think they'll like that a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's a good show. You guys do a great job, and I'm happy to see that, you know, what I helped start is still around and still doing so well and you know, just thriving, and that it's become so popular as well in the region that, you know, so many people around the region are watching it. And, yeah, you know, it's just really cool. And, oh, you know, I just thought of something when you asked me about when we knew we kind of were becoming popular. I was at Southwest Terminal A. A few months after the show started, we were heading down to, me and the producer, the producers were heading down to L.A. To scout Disneyland, because we were going to do live broadcast from Disneyland. And so we're heading down there to scout Disneyland, and then we were going to go by KTLA and meet up with those people there. And we were sitting at the airport waiting to fly down there at the Southwest Terminal. All the TVs in the terminal had Good Day Sacramento on. And so we were very excited to see that, and we called up the station. And we said, hey, you guys are on at Southwest. You should say hi to the terminal. And so they were guest anchors, and so they started saying hi to the, hey, Southwest Terminal, and you're watching us, how, you know. So I think that might have been one of the first moments that we felt like, okay, we're legitimate now.
That's awesome. Well, I know it's been a while since you've directed, you know, Good Day, but as we wrap this up, will you pretend like I am a tape operator and do a call for me to wrap it up and then turn off the machine?
Okay, I'll try. Okay. All right. Let me think back to what our deck. I can't even remember what our decks were called. I think we had A and B, and we had 13 and 14 and 15 and 16. And I can't. We had different tape format back then too. But all right. Why don't you wrap up the story about you know, the tornado that went through town the other day. Rack it up, roll back to a 2Q. All right, so we're going to be rolling from deck 13 off of camera 1, so stand by 1, take 1, stand by to roll 13, roll 13, and take. All right, and then we're going to be coming back to the 2 shot on 2, and then we're going to hit the break. So stand by on 2, take 2, stand by to roll your break, and 2, 1, roll your break, and black.
That's awesome, man. That is awesome. Hey, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. It was great talking to you.
Hopefully you can come down for the anniversary show. I think we're going to have a big party.
Yeah, I'd love to. That would be great.
Awesome. Thanks again, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks. Bye, Cody.
All right, bye. And there you have it. The original director of Good Day Sacramento, Kevin Moline. What an interesting guy. It's kind of cool that he still watches the show at home, I think, and still kind of directs it. I can just see him yelling at the TV screen, Stark, what's up with your hair? Okay, stick around. Let's see who else we can track down as we round up to the 20th anniversary of Good Day Sacramento.